Are you in the bathroom?
No, I'm seeing how well the microphone that's built into my laptop works.
Very badly.
You have a microphone built into your lap?
Okay, there we go.
Fort Max is now speaking directly into his crotch.
No, that's your mom.
Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
Good news, it's a suppository.
Hey, Mickey.
I-R-R-R-R.
Paladin.
And Horse.
And Fort Max.
I'm a minivan?
Showtime!
Let's get this going.
That's also what I told your mom.
It's Superhero Time. I'm XV. And this is a long silence.
Get used to that.
Yeah. It's okay, it'll go away in editing. I have a magic button.
Your mom has a magic button.
It's our last show of the year, actually.
Hooray! You know,
we've been doing this for almost a full year now. Minus several weeks.
Yeah.
Well, nothing's perfect, especially us.
Nobody's perfect. Not us.
So, joining me this week, I have Fort Max.
Hello.
Hey, Mickey.
Greetings, program.
Who has seen Tron recently. And Paladin, who's busy with your mom.
She earns her fair share of nickels.
Yeah. Okay, so do we want to start off with Samurai Forever?
Samurai Forever.
Or the Gokaiju cast names. Because there's value to be had in either one of those topics. I'm not sure which one we really want to kick off with here.
Well, let's do things in chronological order and start with Samurai Forever.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go through the bad stuff to get to the good stuff, just like we're doing with Sentai now.
Yeah, just a few more weeks, guys. Hang in there.
So
yeah, we got a, what was it, about 2-minute preview of, the first episode of Power Rangers Samurai.
It looks dumb.
In which they find a bunch of Moogers.
Yeah.
Everybody hates that name already.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It sounds like bad Chinese food.
You know, chillers.
It probably is.
Chillers, grinders, can't think of any other from the last few years, but...
Can you think of a name worse than Mooger?
Well, that's why I'm trying to think through all these names. Batlings.
How about they just called them fishies?
Batlings is kind of worse.
And Cogs is just... They don't look a thing like Cogs.
No, but it's a thematic thing. You know, they're the cogs
they're
of the Empire.
They're metaphorical cogs.
Right.
I always thought Skugs was kind of a dumb name, but I guess that doesn't really count.
Yeah, but that was VR Troopers. I mean...
So that's already shit.
Who didn't have a dumb name in VR Troopers?
Grimlord?
Tau?
The dog?
No, the dog's name was kind of dumb.
Carl Zichter I'll go with is Grimlord. Ain't to run away from.
What? Fort Max?
Carl Zichter. That is a name that is... It's a good name.
It sounds like an actual person's name, yes. If somebody was actually named Zichter. But the important thing is that the it's not the same initials as like Grimlord, you know.
Yeah.
It's not anything dumb and obvious like that. But
back with Power Rangers Samurai.
You know what? You know what foot soldier name I always liked in Power Rangers a lot though? Swabbies.
Yes.
What was that from?
Lost Galaxy.
Lost Galaxy.
Ah, okay.
In the Lost Galaxy.
Remember Captain Mutiny at all?
Yes. They were Captain Mutiny's,
The guys in the full-body orange spandex suits with the, striped boxer shorts.
I don't remember any of that.
Okay. Yeah, they were the one from the Sentai footage.
Yeah.
I like the guys in tuxes from, Die Ranger.
We didn't get those.
I know, we should have. They're pretty great.
Which is why we didn't get them.
Yeah, that would've been funny if those were Zed's special putties. Oop, there went my ball again.
That's so the Power Rangers Samurai promo seems to make it very clear they are going for a young audience.
Yes. They're trying to respect the actual
4 to 5 year old range.
Well, you know, it's to sell toys, and that's basically their target audience.
And basically it was their target audience anyway, so...
No.
And you know what? They're probably right about this choice. I think it's going to pay off for them.
And the theme and the music playing during the promo has a bunch of Mighty Morphin theme riffs in it, so...
Yeah, but what really caught some people's attention was that... You know, we talked about this before when the pictures went up of the samurai toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they removed the brush mode from the morpher.
Yes.
But
in the morph.
Yeah,
and
now we see
in
the
show too.
Now we see in the preview that they're still drawing the kanji in the air, just using a cell phone instead of a calligraphy brush.
Well,
the cell phone looks like a little small handheld taser now.
they're using. Well, as usual, modified Sentai toys.
Right. But if they're not changing the morphing sequence either, then what's the point, really?
I guess they have an excuse to not just port over the Sentai toys.
Well, probably, you know, they had some demographics that say that, you know, calligraphy brushes don't, you know, test well with kids. And they'd rather have something that glows and is electronic.
Which is perfectly sensible, but then why keep the drawing the kanji in the air function?
Yeah. Maybe it'd be too difficult to edit out of the show.
I don't see how.
If they change the morphing sequence.
How? They're...
It's all new footage.
With the American cast. Well, New Zealand cast, but...
Okay, there are some sequences in Shinkanger where when they're morphed, they use the Shoto phones to draw stuff in the air to make stuff happen.
Right.
You know, I guess if there was a point where they would have to use that, they need a basis for it. But I still think they could edit around any instance of that.
Yes.
I see SPD.
No, it's just SPD. There's no C in front of it.
Also, look at Jungle Fury and... what was before Jungle Fury?
The one we don't talk about?
Yeah, that one.
So terrible.
Mystic Force?
No, the one between that and Jungle Fury?
I'm
pretty sure we went straight from Mystic Force straight to Jungle Fury.
In Jungle Fury especially, though, a lot of the time they would go through and shot for shot recreate parts of the corresponding Sentai episode instead of using the source footage. You know, in any case where they could not edit around using the drawing in the air thing from Shinkanger's footage, they could just as easily go in and shoot a new sequence. You know, there's precedent for that. Well, there is precedent for it, though. Of course, the bond's a little cheaper, probably.
But I will say I already like these morphers better than Jungle Fury's stupid solar cell morphers.
No, the solar cell morpher was Solaris Knight's morpher in Mystic Force.
Well, then whatever they called the stupid sunglasses things in Jungle Fury.
They were called the stupid sunglasses morphers.
Yeah, that
is. Speaking of Jungle Fury morphers, I did finally pick up that wolf changer, gong changer thing. The American one.
Does the strap fit around your wrist?
Yes, but I've got artist wrists, so...
Yeah, I got fat, chunky wrists. Strap won't fit me. I had to replace it with another one.
You need to get a strap on that will fit.
What? I heard the your mom part. What was the other thing?
I said you need to get a strap on that will fit.
Yeah. Just like your mom.
But I'm bump.
And also, morphing sequence does have the, does include the alternate heads seen on the Automorpher figures.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused by this. Apparently that they morph from pajamas into ninja costumes and then into Power Rangers, which are samurais.
Yeah.
I'm not really clear on what is going on.
Me either. The hoods kind of confused me, too.
I hope there's some kind of reason for that.
To sell toys.
Yeah, I guess that counts.
I mean, is that what the Automorphin toys have? They got the Ranger helmet and the mask, then?
Yes.
Yeah, I would assume then it's to make it easier to make those toys so they don't even have to try to make actor likenesses. I mean, that's the only reason I can think of.
And of course, what also is interesting with the toys is that the Mega Ranger, the packaging for the Mega Ranger figures, the picture on the front of the card is an actual costume.
Are you sure?
Yes. I looked closely at them when I was in Target, and it's not a picture of the toy. It's a picture of a guy in a costume. And the costume matches the figures.
Interesting.
Or shadowing, maybe?
That'd be something.
It would also explain why they're called Mega Ranger, Forest Mega Ranger, Fire, whatever.
Yeah. Well, that could be something interesting.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Well, that would be the first time we've had a Power Rangers original full team power-up, right?
Second?
What was the first?
The metallic armor from Season 3.
Oh, that barely counts.
And so
you couldn't tell that they were using it half the time.
Except that the helmets were all darker colored.
And yellow became gold.
Yeah, that's all kind of impressive or something, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely kind of something.
What were we talking about?
Well, as you can imply from our previous conversation, the Power Rangers Samurai Forever toys are now circulating among stores.
Yes, they are.
And
they're at Target as well, so...
And how much are they, Fort Max?
I'm not sure.
Good reporting, Fort Max.
That's par for the course with us.
On the other hand, at least this shows that these stores will be carrying Power Rangers toys again. At least for, 6 or 7 weeks.
And then they'll carry the same wave of toys for another 11 months.
Well, as long as Walmart doesn't get, full stack bases of the first wave, there shouldn't be a massive flood of one set of figures that never goes away.
Now, did that happen or not?
When? What?
Who?
You haven't seen Walmart just getting pallets full of Wave 1, have you?
Not Samurai, no. The last time that happened was RPM.
I just remembered something. I found some Power Ranger toys at Walmart the other day.
This ought to be good.
They were first wave RPM figures.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
They got put out for Christmas.
Oh, and the, kind of on that note, the Walmart exclusive, Revenge of the Fallen Skywarp and, Skywarp and Ramjet got put out at some of the Walmarts around here.
Yeah, I think that happened here, too.
Yeah.
They got put on clearance around me, finally, for $11.
Still not worth it.
No.
Yeah,
not.
It's still a movie toy. Okay, so... What about that Medicom thing there, Mickey?
What about it?
Exactly.
Well, you're the one who wanted to talk about it.
I'm not clear what you're talking about. You're going to have to bring me more up to speed than that. Oh, yes. The AG figure.
Yes.
It's apparently expensive and really, really sharp looking.
It's expensive, and you probably have to buy the actual Medicom O's figure first. You get the ticket in order to be able to order the expensive AG figure.
Through Maddie Collector?
Might as well be.
Yeah.
The equivalent of what Maddie Collector would be with the additional frustration of not understanding what it's saying.
They did the same thing last year with Double. They released a Cyclone Joker like this, and it came with a ticket where you could order a Phillip, a Shotaro, and I think Luna Trigger. Off of the ticket for like $200 each.
Sure. Sure, why not?
Yeah. Though this does come with Tomorrow's Underpants.
And Ankh.
Both essential features, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, how will you survive in the world without Tomorrow's Underwear and a flying hand?
It sounds like a good place for a Your Mom joke, but I just can't think of a new one.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the O's toys, Paladin.
Let's see. Today we heard the announcement of a Tamashii Web exclusive 2-pack set of two O's forms.
Of course we did.
Let's see. The pack contains two of O's mixed forms. I hate doing these pronunciations, so bear with me if I butcher this. Takakiriba and Takatorata.
I think the second one.
Horrible.
I think the second one really should have been Tatorata. Because it sounds better.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if it's written that way, it's written that way. But yeah, this is just the first of what will undoubtedly be many, many mixed 2-packs.
At a mere 7,000 yen.
Each?
No total for the pack.
Well, that's what I mean.
Plus shipping.
And middleman fees.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better be really into this O's stuff if you want to get those.
I'm guessing these hybrid forms will wind up exclusives, but all the core forms will be regular figure arts releases.
I would assume so. That's how it worked with Double.
Yeah.
All the off forms, including Excels, were exclusive figures. Meanwhile, you can buy the O's form change figures and get ones that you can just swap around yourself.
Well, you could if, you know, any store actually had them in stock.
Well, this is all, you know, theoretical anyway.
Your mom's theoretical.
She'll die.
And also, there are toys for of Mezu and Gamel, which
is awesome.
But are these actually being released, or are they stuff Bandai is teasing?
Well, okay,
that they never intend on releasing at all.
Well, I mean, it's a magazine scan, so it's got at least a better chance than the Sonozaki family stuff did. Probably.
In theory.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible it's in the realm of stuff they want to do and just have not found the outlet for it yet.
Like Revolver Mammoth?
What?
Kind of like the planned deluxe Revolver Mammoth that never came out.
Came out in Japan.
The full-scale one?
The one that interacts with the deluxe toys?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or... No, wait. Why am I saying... No, not Revolver Mammoth. The Brachiozord. I'm getting my Carrier Zords mixed up here.
Yeah, I doubt the full-scale Brachiozord was ever really a possibility.
There's an image here showing a potential prototype of it, but I don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah, again, I don't think that's anything they actually expected to ever be able to do. But, you know, Bandai of Japan's all about sitting around wasting money.
Yeah.
So, you know, a team of sculptors would have just spent a few weeks together putting that together, even though nothing would ever come of it. The same way, too, I think... at one point, there was a full-scale train base set for the Lightspeed Rescue Go-Go 5 stuff.
Wait, like, full-scale as in it held the Super Train Megazord in a base?
Yeah.
That's retardedly huge.
Yes, which is why, of course, it never actually materialized.
I don't think most Japanese homes are even large enough to accommodate a toy that size.
No, most likely not.
You'd have to keep it outside?
On the balcony or something.
Yeah.
Prop it up on the roof. Either that or go dig a hole somewhere and bury it until you want to play with it again.
Or put it underwater.
Yeah. Yeah, just go to the retention pond outside the apartment complex and submerge it.
Yeah, then it would raise up and bring your train toy to you.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But, you know, it would need to have, like, a catapult for the Max Solar Zord. Shoot it out the top.
You could work something together.
Yeah.
See, I think they should start shooting Megazords in a satellite orbiting the Earth and shoot them into the city like comets. Like they arrive in a huge explosion, destroy buildings on the way down.
Didn't some series do something like that?
Isn't that kind of what Space did?
Well, they didn't, you know, destroy city blocks in the process, but yeah, everything did hang around in orbit.
Or parked on the moon.
Yeah, whatever.
Which looks or parked on one of Jupiter's moons, which looks suspicious, which was orbiting a planet that looks suspiciously like Earth.
Well, don't you know, Earth is perfectly visible at full size from many of Jupiter's moons.
Well, they just kept the Zords parked next to Zed's RV. and all the horses.
Yeah, and the Beetleborg costumes.
And the Ark.
But yeah, if I was to guess anything that the Gamel and Mezel figures might be, I would say probably like figure art zero.
Yeah, because I can't see
any sculpted articulation. Moving. Yeah, there's no articulation sculpted into either one of them. Now, you know, if
could have it added in, but not Mezel, not with that cape.
Yeah, I mean, if these are just, you know, basic appearance sculpts that they would make actual toys from later, you know, they could work in the engineering for it, but as they are right now, I would assume that they'd be in some format where no articulation is required.
Yeah. And most probably they put articulation in a villain figure.
I mean, it's the same thing. Why would they bother to make vinyl figures of the power-up Girl Rangers?
They'd never sell.
Right.
Not in Japan.
Or probably not in America either, really.
Yeah, that one Pink Ranger is still hanging around at Walmart.
You should give her a good home.
We talk about this almost every week, don't we?
I don't think so.
Nope.
I think you mentioned it once on Twitter.
No, I've mentioned it on the show before. Remember I had to go listen through a bunch of shows to do the Your Mom special a couple weeks ago?
I don't remember that.
Me either. What were we talking about?
I think we're talking about Gokaiger.
Oh, yes, Gokaiger.
Yes. The names.
Well, before we get to the names, let's start off with the first news, which was the actual promo video.
Yeah.
That they're wearing pirate shirts in their civilian form.
Well, pirate jackets.
Yes. Well, yeah, they're
short. They're wearing pirate jackets shirts over normal clothes.
Yeah.
But best of all is that none of them appear to have freakishly large ears.
Yeah.
Green's hair is kind of freakish, but that's the closest thing so far.
Well, I mean, you have to accept that a little bit, because otherwise the three male actors basically look like the same person if they don't change
the
hair.
That's always the case.
But that's why they changed the hair color and hairstyles between them. Of course, since Red's actor was new Denno for the movies, I'm never going to be able to not see him as a Masked Rider. Darn cast recycling. Of course, to be fair, Gold and Goanger was also a writer first.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So this could still be good.
Actually, he was like two different writers in the same series. But yes, we should talk about the character names that we've learned now.
Yes.
So, apparently Gokaiger is going to have the best damn character names of any show on television ever.
Something really remarkable would have to happen at this point for Gokaiger to not be the best Sentai series ever created.
Well, they do have to meet the Gosagers at some point.
Shut up.
Maybe they'll just steal their shit and sail off into the ocean.
Yeah, they are pirates.
Yeah.
So let's start off with the lesser names of the group. Blue's name is Joe, and Green's name is Don. Which, you know,
exactly.
I'm pretty sure those
Frankie
are common Japanese names.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not exactly Frankie and Cowboy, but yeah, it works.
Yeah, I wonder which one's the slow-thinking weapons expert.
Well, that's Green, isn't it?
Do they have a Green?
Blue is the human outboard motor.
Yeah.
And we can tell right away who the main squeeze is.
That would be Aimu do Famiyu?
No, the other.
No? I thought Pink was the main squeeze.
Not in this series.
She was only the main squeeze in Dynaman because she was the only girl.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're changing our references here, and you shouldn't do that.
Yes, we should.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not my fault. I wasn't making any of the references, except for Slow Thinking Weapons Expert. But
your
somebody else said
references.
Somebody else said cowboy first, just like your mom.
But
yeah, there's two really exceptional, outstanding names.
Yes.
Among these
Gokai
five,
Red, Captain Marvelous.
Yeah.
That's his name, not his title. That's his name.
Yeah.
Which, they're really lucky to live in Japan, because otherwise they'd have both DC and Marvel trying to sue them.
They still might try.
And then there's Yellow.
Yes.
Well, before we get to Yellow, Captain Marvelous. just picture what that means for his character. He's going to be fantastic. He's going to be full of charm and swashbuckliness. And he's probably going to be the best Red Ranger ever.
And he has a neck of normal proportion.
And he probably has a brain, too, so huge step up from Alada.
It doesn't matter if he has a brain. He's got a pirate's hat, and he's named Captain Marvelous. He doesn't need a brain. Because he's Captain Marvelous.
He certainly is. So, last but certainly not least, we have Gokai Yellow.
Yeah.
Luca Milfi.
Only in Japan.
Which is really a shame when you think about it.
Yeah.
Her name is Luca.
Does she live on the second floor?
Yeah, she lives upstairs from you. No one?
No one.
Okay.
No, I take that back. It could be an American name if it was in the next goddamn Little Fockers type of movie.
I just happened to glance at Rotten Tomatoes, and it's at 10% fresh right now, so at least there's some justice in the world.
Yeah, Milky. I gotta say, I'm really getting to look forward to Gokaiger.
So I wonder if she's gonna be, like, old.
Doesn't look it.
Do you want to be awesome, though?
I guess she could be, like, space old, where she looks 15, but is actually 500 years old.
No, it would be awesome if Luca Milfi was in Jungle Fury or Geki Ranger, and she had the Cougar Zord. No? Hello?
But anyway...
Because, see, cougars are considered MILFs. It's like a thing. There's like a show called Cougar Town.
I shouldn't be surprised that you watch that.
Well, I see your mom on it a lot. She's kind of a fat cougar.
More like a Gonzo's cougar.
They invented a special classification for your mom, hippopotamus. But yeah, really looking forward to Gokaiger more and more.
I don't know. Part of me is still kind of expecting it to suck.
It can't possibly suck. It's about pirates and it has Captain Marvelous.
Well, they could find a way for it to suck.
Well, we're optimistic about Gokaiger, but looking back, all we really had to go on was just some nice design boards.
There was no real meat behind the series.
At least this show has a good concept for it.
It has a good concept, but keeps delivering more good concepts.
Like Milfi.
And Captain
Pirate Ship Exorcist. And other Red Rangers showing up all the time.
Yeah.
So even if the main cast does suck, which it probably won't, we'll still have plenty of guest stars to keep us entertained.
Right.
It will remain interesting because there'll be lots of stuff going on.
Of course, if it ends up being like Decade, we won't actually get any returning cast members.
We could get some, though.
Well, I take it back. We would get Shinken Red back, since it's basically the Deno of Sentai at this point.
$10 says Shinken Red takes over their team. They're being too irresponsible with their powers.
Of course, even in Deno, only two of the... non-voice actor cast members came back for that when Decade got around to Deno's world. Actually, might have been three. But the point is, when Decade did Deno, they didn't get the original Denno actor back for that.
I wonder why. Oh, I know. He was too busy filming another four Denno movies at the time. He didn't have time to do anything else.
No, actually, he hasn't been back since.
Oh. Well, just ruin the joke then with your facts.
Yeah. That's my job. My job is to see humor and step all over it.
You don't do much stepping in the show then.
Because there's no humor?
Yes. That was the joke.
That I just stepped all over.
No, you said you stepped all over humor.
I also step on attempts at humor, too.
Just like I step all over your mom.
That's stepping over good humor, like the ice cream.
Which she is 95%.
Just like Ankh.
Now, don't mislead people. We don't have any O's to talk about this week. You know, this past weekend was Christmas, and the subbers took a vacation.
Those bastards!
Yeah.
How dare they do this to us?
How dare they engage in personal enjoyment while we need our fix of Masked Rider?
If I had to work on Christmas, they should work on Christmas.
You know, you're right. But since we don't have any O's to look forward to, I guess we should just go ahead and get through this next part. You know what time it is.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
So, Paladin, tell us about, was it 45?
Yeah. Epic Fail 45 is a clip show.
Really?
Really.
So what do they think are the memories worth reliving on Ghostager?
The history of Blade Run.
So it was a clip show about the villain.
Yes. And about all his different forms and all the times they had to fight him.
And how many times he died.
Just in case we had blocked out the memory, which most of us were probably trying to do.
Yeah, I'm not certain if we should consider Blade Run like a successful villain or a failure of a villain. Because he keeps losing over and over again.
To the Ghostagers. I mean, it's one thing to lose to like the Shinkangers or the Ghostagers. Or Go-Angers, excuse me. Or the Geeky Rangers. You know, it's one thing to lose to decent teams. But if you lose to the Ghostagers, it's just...
Three times in a row.
And you keep coming back for more.
Just and like you don't even manage to do anything like blow up their base.
Yeah.
Well, the Ghostagers are too busy doing that for themselves.
They're trying anyway.
I mean, how low in your career is some evil rubber suit alien monster thing do you have to be to keep trying to defeat the Ghostagers of all people and fail?
Obviously at least 45 episodes worth of low.
Yeah. So was there a preview for next week?
Sort of. Doesn't look that interesting either, but it never does.
I presume it's not a clip show, at least.
We do find out the full secret of Blade Run's origin.
Which is?
He's actually a fallen Gosei angel.
Which would explain why his next form is a Gosei form.
Right. And his new form gives him the ability to change forms.
So he can switch between any of his three previous ones?
Yeah, he's got that power now.
Because, you know, they got all these costumes that they need to keep in use.
That haven't fallen apart yet.
Sure do hate that Ghostager.
Yeah, it sucks. Let's move on.
5 more to go.
Well, we don't have any O's to talk about, as we just mentioned.
Boo.
So, I don't know, Pokemon?
Now, I do have the last two Mighty Morphin figures.
Well, I guess you can talk about that.
Yeah.
And a side order of fries!
Well, yeah. Found the White Ranger and Power Up Green Ranger at Ross for $4 each.
That's not bad.
Good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, the White Ranger is kind of similar to the other Power Up Rangers.
Does he have a Green Ranger shield?
No, but no paint on the soles of his feet, no paint on the back of his belt, and he's missing the black paint on the back of the shield.
If anything, he should be missing the gold paint on the back of the shield, since there's less of it.
No, the black paint's on top of the gold paint on the front.
That's so terrible.
So they did like double paint then. That's stupid.
Or it at least I think it is, because there are a few places along the edge where you can there isn't black paint covering as well, but there's gold paint under it. But yeah, the parts that should be black on the back of the shield are painted gold.
Which is basically all of the back of the shield.
Yeah.
Good job.
Saba, however, is white plastic painted completely silver, except for where it pegs into the belt.
That's ridiculous.
It's bendy plastic, too.
Again, it's Bandai.
Yep. Okay, so tell us about Power Up Green Ranger.
Power Up Green Ranger. Well, we found the missing paint. He is covered in paint. The black lines that you see on the front of the figure, on the white bars, have those same lines all across the back. This figure is... the only detail unpainted is the back belt buckle. But then it would be correctly painted if you're going by the Sentai suits. But
right.
It has... Now also... the articulation's a bit different on this figure. Can't move his shoulder. Well, can't raise his arms at the sides on the shoulders. However, he does have upper arm swivels, which would have been nice to have on all the other figures.
Yeah.
Late now.
But no, they put it on this one because he can't raise his arms to the side at the shoulders.
Right, because one totally makes up for the other.
John McCain.
What?
So it's an action figure based on John McCain?
Possibly. yeah, and there is, of course, the kneecap details are, have Dragon Coin detailing on them. Though it's kind of hard to see under the layer of paint. And the upper arms are green plastic, but they're completely covered in gold paint, along with the white stripe going along with the tooth detail.
So, does this look as cool in person as it looks in photos?
Yes.
Would you recommend finding one?
I would recommend getting it if you can find one.
For $4 or for any price?
Well, even regular retail of about $6 would be good on, because it just looks awesome. And of course, both of these do have the ports on their backs for the Dino Flyers.
Well, that's
good. I was hoping they had forgotten about those.
But yeah, they both have the ports, and also, unlike the regular Green Ranger figure, Power Up Green Ranger does have a peg on the side of his belt to hold a Blade Blaster Saba. However, can't hold the Dragon Dagger from it.
No, of course not. It's got to do something wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's Bandai.
Sometimes Bandai does things right, though.
Like what?
They probably did your mom.
Bet they did it wrong, though.
Is Bandai doing the figure arts?
Yeah.
Nope.
That's Bandai Japan. Kind of different.
Bandai. I don't think Bandai makes figure arts anyway.
Yeah, Bandai makes figure arts.
Okay, they do?
Yes, Fort okay. Max.
That's something they do right, so there.
That's Bandai Japan, though, so you could argue that.
Yeah, I'm sure if Bandai of America did figure arts, they'd be, well, the figures we already get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 inches tall and ugly.
And minimal almost immobile. If Bandai of America did figure arts, they'd be, like, figure art zero. Either that, or they would be, like, those anniversary Red Ranger figures.
Yep, that's what they would be.
The one other oddity with the Power of Green Ranger is he has rivets at the hips.
He's very old at this point, so you know you need to have a hip surgery at that age.
I thought it was just because it was like, you know, jean detailing. You know, the rivets on the pockets. Never mind.
Okay. I won't.
But so yeah, Power of Green Ranger looks great. White Ranger also looks great on the front.
But you'd like for his backside to look better.
Yeah. I'd like your mom's backside to look better.
Well, see, the thing is, I already painted your mom's backside white.
So, anyway. So, Mickey, you got a Christmas present.
Yes, I got something I asked for. Hooray.
An O's driver?
No, there is no Santa Claus, so I can't get things that don't exist.
The O's driver totally exists.
Sure.
Maybe you can't have one, but it does exist.
Well, I did get something that I can have, and that I got the figure arts of Cyclone Joker Extreme. It's glorious.
Is it extreme?
Extreme?
It's extremely extreme. This is my first figure arts toy, and I can see why they cost $40 now. Sorry. Aside from the nice articulation, which I was expecting, the paint detail on it is incredible. The metallic green they use on it is hypnotic, almost. But the coolest thing, though, is the center part with the silver stripe in the middle. Almost all of it has got a clear plastic shell over it, just like he has in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand figure arts in general are very nice toys.
They are.
I can agree to that.
And I totally want to get the O's now.
I've got technically four, and they're all great.
Technically four? What's the technically fourth?
War Greymon.
Oh, well, that's close enough.
Yeah.
What are the other ones you have, though?
I've got Black RX, XL, and Cyclone Joker.
Ah.
I will say this, though, that he's not perfect. He's got some joints on his toes that are so stiff that I'm afraid to move them afraid of tearing the plastic.
Well, you probably don't even need to move them anyway.
No, I don't, but, you know, he's not flawless. There's a few things here and there that are difficult. Switching hands is a complete pain in the ass, because every time you try to push the hand on, it moves the joint out of place.
Yeah.
And the joy of double-jointed wrists
feels terrifying.
Yeah. I recall similar sensations with Gundam figures some time ago, where it feels like the plastic is going to rip in the process.
Yeah, it's such a tiny, tiny peg that it's somewhat alarming to try and pull the hands off of it.
Yeah. But, you know, there's people that have hundreds of figure arts, and most of them aren't destroyed, so they're probably okay.
One interesting thing is that on the wrist and the ankles, those little X or double patterns, whatever they are.
Yeah.
That's not molded detail. That's actually a separate piece on there. You can, like, spin it and take it off.
Nice. Losable bits.
So.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a reason that figure arts cost, you know, $40 a head.
Yeah, it's not just because they're Japanese.
Well, that's part of it. That's about half of the price right there. One day I ought to get a figure arts.
You should get at least one.
Of course, the ones I would probably be interested in are kind of like, you know, out of production. So then they'd cost more than $40.
Well, then you should get them before they go out of production then.
I will make a point to go back and tell myself that before.
Okay, then.
Well, apparently I have not been able to time travel in the future yet, because I'm still sitting here without a figure arts.
You just got to get up to 88 miles per hour.
I figured it'd be like on TV, and once I actually decided to go and change the past, you know, the wave would just pass over me, and, kind of like that. The wave would just pass over me, and, you know, the timeline would have updated from me carrying out the action in the future.
Although, you know, to be fair, even if you had bought, you know, say, a Kamen Rider Ryuki figure back then,
you still
wouldn't have gotten around to opening it by now.
Kamen Riker?
Yeah, Kamen Riker.
He's number one.
We could go
one.
Into that crossover later on.
I'm sure in someone's fanfic it's already happened.
No, it's Kamen Riker. Like not uncommon or rare, it's just common.
Oh.
Actually, speaking of Kamen Rider Ryuki, I've played some of the DS version of Dragonite.
Oh.
It's not bad.
Eh.
I wouldn't recommend paying a lot for it. or anything at all. But as far as a button masher, it's not bad.
Always high praise.
Oh, the graphics are pretty enough, and you know it controls well. It's just very, very simple. You're just plopped into level, and you fight 3 to 10 goons, and sometimes there's a boss monster to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very simple, but you
sounds
know.
Like those Game Boy Advance Power Ranger games.
I would say it's better than that. I wouldn't recommend spending more than $15 on a copy, but it's definitely better than most Power Rangers games I've played. I'd say that.
Short trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I need to acquire the O's game for the PSP.
Climax Heroes.
Yeah.
Isn't there a Wii version of? Isn't there a Wii version of that too?
There is.
No, there's a Wii version of Dragon Knight.
Yeah. Actually, the Wii version of Dragon Knight is a port of a Decade game.
Where they remapped the characters into all Dragon Knight characters, I believe.
Yeah.
The DS version, though, is original from what I can read. Well, as original as punching people in the face 30 times in a row can get.
It's very classic.
Yeah.
Or something, I don't know, whatever. So,
it kind of has the design structure of a PS1 game.
That's kind of impolite of you to say.
Well, it's kind of accurate as well. So I just ask you, would you get any enjoyment of playing some retro PS1 games? If the answer is yes, then you'd probably dig Dragon Knight on the DS.
Well, good, I know not to get it then.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, so do we have any other things to talk about?
One thing I noticed here.
Okay.
AmiAmi has put up pre-orders for Candy Toy Gokaiger.
Oh my. No pictures, though, hey?
Not yet.
Darn.
I like how it says it's certain into the box in certain proportions by the manufacturer.
It's not the best English.
Like, I wonder what certain proportions they're using.
Well, there will probably be like 3 of boat.
36, 24, 36?
3 of boat, 1 of submarine, you know. Either that or it's a way of saying that the exact case assortment is going to be random every time. So there's no guarantee you'll get a full set.
If you notice on the lineup, they're all tentative, so those vehicles might not be in the box at all.
Yeah.
They could just be a box of nothing but large car.
Or data typer. Pretty sure they still have a lot of those laying around.
Yeah, the Gokaiger vehicles are actually chase vehicles.
And also, TVD Hans released subs of the first 2 episodes of Zoo Ranger.
Hooray!
From the DVDs this time, though, not old VHS copies.
Yeah, that's right. Nice.
Double hooray.
Should we start watching that?
Well, we'll cover that in a few weeks.
The first episode has some nice effects with Rita attacking from a TV.
Well, yeah, I watched the old subs that TV Nihon had. Rita was kind of awesome that first episode of Zoo Ranger.
Yeah, it's too bad they couldn't figure out a way to work some of that into Power Rangers.
Yeah, because she was kicking that planet's ass.
But yeah, we'll cover this in some more detail in a few weeks.
Stop threatening the listener.
What? Zoo Ranger is actually pretty good.
No, I was even threatening the listener with more of us talking.
Yes, there you go.
Oh. Well, you got a point there. Well, in that case, we should probably give them a little bit of a break from us. So why don't we take a couple minutes off and come back to our topic?
Yeah, let's make them listen to some commercials for a bit.
Like Timmy P's Real Mayonnaise.
It's good.
No, Timmy P's Real Brand Mayonnaise.
Mmm.
Timmy P's Real Brand Mayonnaise.
Welcome once more to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee.
Mechatron sequence has been initiated!
Shuriken Gundam! Yukinaya!
very unimpressed with the initial Zords from 2007 Sentai series Geki Ranger. In my view, the animal combos didn't offer anything particularly unique or interesting in comparison to previous lines, so I maintained only a passing interest in this series. But around the midpoint of Geki Ranger, a much more interesting mecha release caught my attention, and I quickly added it to my shelves. This is my review of the deluxe mold Geki Fire. Well, when the Geki Ranger's combat abilities proved insufficient against the most recent horde of opponents, they began new training with the Grand Masters of the Beast Fist Arts, unlocking new super-class uniforms and zords. Red, as usual, receives the largest super beast, the mighty Geki Gorilla, a heavily armored ape with a motorized gimmick that allows the toy to rotate its arms and walk, sort of, on its fists. Blue tames the agile Geki Gazelle, a speedy little fighter with wheeled feet for maximum mobility. This is easily the worst mold in this set, a near shameless remold of three previous Geki Beast toys. Yellow is granted the awesome Geki Penguin, and yes, you heard that right, it is an actual penguin zord, and its mighty flying surfboard, which resembles but is legally distinctive from the trademark transportation of a certain shiny Marvel Comics character. While this toy's actual quality is somewhat low, I cannot offer criticism because, like its spiritual successor, Mystic Runner, the sheer concept of a zord like this is too awesome to nitpick. The general detailing on this trio is extremely well done, incorporating a fine blend of organic and mechanical elements, while offering a reasonable amount of play value. The three super beasts combine to form the Herculean Giant Geki Fire. This is a much bulkier design than the earlier Geki Beast combinations, suggesting a new combat style emphasizing raw power over speed or skill. The motorized gimmick from Geki Gorilla remains intact here, allowing Geki Fire to rotate its massive armored gauntlets and pummel enemies with relative ease. Thankfully, the movement gimmick does not completely hamper play value as it does in other motorized zords. Geki Fire's arms can position just fine without having to run the motor if you so desire. However, I must point out that this arm-swinging gimmick represents 95% of Geki Fire's potential range of articulation. And while movement is usually not a big factor in Megazord purchases, I still find it a tad disappointing. But overall, Geki Fire is a fantastic improvement on the otherwise lackluster Geki Ranger mecha series, and I strongly recommend this one for collectors. This mold remained relatively unchanged for its American release in the Jungle Fury line. Where it was renamed Jungle Master Megazord, and I advise buyers to not confuse this mold with the much earlier American original design Beast Master Megazord. And so, if you are looking for a somewhat cheaper alternative, the American version would work quite well in this case. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time. Just feel it, don't keep off it. Keep me dark and opaque. Go for it, don't keep it up. Kiwame tsukete.
Superhero Time, where your mom jokes go to die.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
Over 3,000 photos, more than a dozen different toy lines, 6 cameras. How do you measure 5 years? FigureReviews.com brings you in-depth reviews and the best toy photography online. Join RAC and XV for quality toy reviews, photography, and just plain awesome. FigureReviews.com.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
Okay, we're back. For Twitter Theater this week, although it was a couple days late, we went ahead and did our Christmas special. It was a very Geki Christmas.
Yes, it was.
Let's not rob the episode of its real title, which, okay, if I can remember what it was.
Hi, Ben.
Good, Good job.
Yeah, hold on a sec. Just cut all this out.
No
chance.
There we go. The episode's real title is Training Part 43. Happy, happy, Merry Christmas, Os. That's okay, I've lost interest already.
Good.
So, I haven't seen a lot of Geeky Ranger, pretty much just the first episode and this one.
And also the crossover with Gohanger.
Okay, yes, but no one seems to notice this gazelle walking through the mall. Yeah. I guess this is commonplace in Japan.
Is Japan just that desensitized to this kind of shit?
The explanation I read once was that the masters were just considered to be eccentrics in costumes.
So, furries?
More or less, yeah.
That does kind of help Japan to ignore anything offensive and disturbing, just pretend you don't see it.
Yeah.
It does sound very Japanese.
It's worth noting, though, that the masters actually live around the world, not just in Japan. They start hanging around in Japan more once they start training the Geki Rangers, but, you know, some of them were living in America and other places. There's other places in the world besides America, right?
Quit lying.
I don't think so.
But yeah, throughout the second half of the series, you'll see them just, you know, walking around like that. I think Gorien tends to wear like a Hawaiian shirt. If you can imagine a gorilla man in a Hawaiian shirt.
All too easily. I've been to Chuck E. Cheese. Actually, no, I take that back. That was Showbiz Pizza. That was the original.
Yeah. I remember that.
Fats Domino. He was terrifying.
So anyway, Christmas in Japan, which apparently involves cake. I don't really get it.
Everything should involve cake.
Even the lies.
Ooh.
Even Kogami.
Especially Kogami.
Kogami.
I'm really not sure on where we should start on this episode, because there's so many things worth discussing that go on in it.
Well, just start from the beginning and we'll move on from there.
Okay, we'll start with let's start with the kid.
Well, I think we should give special mention first to Ken putting the red nose on Master Peon.
That's a pretty inspired gag, yes.
I didn't like the cutaway illustration of him laboredly tugging away at a sleigh.
Yep. It was good for a laugh, but it makes a lot of sense. What doesn't make a lot of sense is this English white kid.
Yeah. Speaking in proper, if exaggerated, English.
Well, it's like they dubbed over his English with English.
Which they probably did.
Well, yeah, you know, before...
It kind of breaks my brain to watch it, because...
Well, okay, here's the thing. Before Shinkanger, it was typical for Sentai series to go over and redub every line in or out of costume. Like, the whole thing would be ADR looped.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not like they specifically went in and dubbed over the kid's English with more English. You know, that was just part of the process of doing the episode.
It's still incredibly weird.
Yeah, it is.
Especially with TV Nihon
also subtitling
translating
the kids' English.
Translating
English.
The Japanese subtitles.
Yeah, it's got subtitles for Japanese and English at the same time.
It would have been...
He's dubbed into English. Oh, God. My brain.
It's like what Fort Max wants, you know, the subtitle of dub Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's got two subs and a dub happening at the same time.
Well, the Japanese sub was part of the show,
right?
But then they put the English subs on there too.
Yeah,
but it's already been subbed into English, so they know they're targeting an English audience, and we understand what English sounds like
most of the time.
You mean it was dubbed into English?
No, they had English subs, too, for us.
Oh, you mean TV Nihon had the English?
Yeah.
But that's what Fort Max was just saying, so why'd you say it again?
Translated.
But yes, the kid was speaking English, is where you were kind of starting off with this.
Yes. It's... Let's just move on.
To Geki Chopper? Get to the chopper?
Well, yeah, Geki Chopper finds a random kid in a mall.
Who's destroying and, everything.
Yeah, he's wrecking shit up. Because he hates Christmas.
You are surrounded by furries?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't blame the kid at all. But he decides to, what, kidnap him and force him to love Christmas?
That's the impression I get from it, yes.
No, I don't. No, it doesn't look like it's forced him to love Christmas. He thinks the kid loves Christmas.
Well, that's true. He doesn't understand him, so he's... Yeah, the kid hates Christmas, but Geki Chopper does not know that.
Because Geki Chopper doesn't actually understand any English, even though before he was Geki Chopper, his character was supposed to be a world traveler. So figure that one out.
Is Geki Chopper all there? Or is he just exceptionally out of it in this episode?
He's more there than Geki Red.
Well, Geki Red's got an excuse. He's Mowgli.
He's coal.
He was raised with the bear necessities.
Wrestling panda bears.
In the jungle.
Yes.
The mighty jungle.
Where the lion sleeps tonight.
Yes.
With your mom.
The lion was a furry.
So is your mom.
Just on the back.
You sure not on the front too?
No,
it's
been
hard
worn
to tell, isn't it? It's grown completely over her.
It's a comb over.
It's become matted into a layer of armor.
Wouldn't it be comb under at that point?
Wait, the rate we're going, we'll have our next Your Mom special in no time.
You just comb it down and tuck it in.
But anyway, as to the question of whether Geki Chopper is all there or not, he's not exactly out of character in this episode, let's put it that way. I blame the hair.
I blame his tracksuit.
Well, they all have those.
Well, Geki Violet has got a nice leather coat thing going on. And...
But, yeah, he wears that instead of a shirt.
Okay, that's not that much better than...
That's why I pointed that out.
I bet that jacket smells incredible.
Well, yeah, and that's not even counting the times he turned into a wolf while wearing it.
Did it look at least as good as the dog costume in Deca Ranger?
Better.
Doggy. Well, good. They learned something then.
By better, I mean worse.
Oh.
Of course.
But anyway, the episode... Yeah, I would say that Ken did basically kidnap that poor little kid.
Carl. Carl was his name. Because that's a very common name for an English kid, is Carl.
Yeah, do hell people, names their kid Carl.
Yeah, do people actually name children Carl?
Unless you're Pixar, I don't think so.
I mean, I thought Carl was just a name that happened to you when you got older or something.
Yeah, it's like an honorific.
Yeah.
Earn it.
Or are burdened with it, either way.
It's like you don't need to meet any girls named Mildred anymore.
Yeah. But apparently you'll meet a girl named Milfy in the next few weeks.
Mildred's an awesome name, though, because it ends in dread.
Spelled wrong.
It's like Ghost Sager.
So anyway, back to Geki Ranger.
Yeah, so the monster of the week is the Monkey King, basically.
Seems to be.
And he's pretty awesome.
And there's a lot of him.
Yeah, and they go around making everyone's life hell, which is pretty great.
Well, that's a monkey for you.
Yeah. Like, they interrupt church.
Yeah.
And they make remote control cars explode.
I want a remote control car that can explode into a fireball.
Yeah.
Because that must be some awesome toy car before it blows up. I mean, that thing must be, full of rocket fuel.
Well, it's Japan. They don't worry about safety standards for kids.
Either that, or it's still like a battery-powered remote control car, but it's just got a tank full of gas on it so it can explode.
It's the Pinto of remote control cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as Monsters of the Weeks go, he's pretty great.
Geeky Ranger had good monster design to start with.
Did they use this one in Jungle Fury at all?
Yeah, I think they used the monkey in Jungle Fury. They just, you know, eliminated all the Christmas parts and the church scene.
I'm trying to remember. Most of that series is a blur for me.
That's fine.
So, after Ken kidnaps Carl, the stuffy bitch ranger, what's her name? Yellow.
The yellow one?
Ran.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the only one that understands a word of English, so she figures out that he hates Christmas. He doesn't.
No, no, no. That wasn't Yellow Ranger. That was their manager.
Well, whatever. Okay, her. She's the only one smart enough to realize what's going on.
Because she speaks broken English.
Yeah. So Carl runs away, and Ken chases him down and tells him that he hates Christmas because he's poor.
Yeah.
Which just. I don't know if that's just about Japan's view of the poor or. Or just Ken's.
I don't want
Geeky Ranger to speak for all of Japan.
Of course it does. Don't you know that Sentai is completely representative of the socio-political views of an entire country?
I always assumed it was a reality show in Japan.
Same thing.
It's got better acting.
It's like the real world Japan.
No, that's Am Driver.
It's what now?
Am Driver.
I don't know what that is.
Nobody else does either, so don't feel bad. It's a Konami toy line from, like, 2003, I think. Kind of like a Microman ripoff with power-up armor vehicle things.
Okay.
There was an anime to go with it, which, as I understand, was... The premise was basically that it was a reality show around this team that goes around fighting evil robots or something. I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, also slightly off topic, I just found something out the other day. Keita Sosukai 7?
Yeah.
Apparently that was one of Miyake's projects, which I did not know that.
Who?
Miyake makes lots of really... up films. He did Audition and Happiness of the Katakuris and Ichi the Killer and what was that other one? Dead or Alive.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, some of them are disturbing and others are flat out, what the hell were you on when you made this?
Well, apparently, Keitai Sosokan 7 was one of the more normal outputs then.
Yeah, it didn't suddenly jump animation, people swallowing demons.
Yeah, I mean, even the cell phones were never like, you know, claymation or anything.
Yeah.
They were fairly nice CG most of the time, but never claymation.
Yeah.
So anyway, Carl's dad eventually pulls up in a limousine.
Yeah, and takes them to their palatial mansion.
Yeah.
It's decadently huge by Japanese standards.
It's almost decadently huge by American standards.
We could almost fit your mom into the living room. That's how big it is.
Well, don't exaggerate. It's not that big.
Oddly, that's
what she said.
Oddly, Carl's dad is like a... ambassador with North Korea or something?
Something.
What?
How does
Why
that...
is there an Englishman in Japan that's an ambassador to North Korea?
I have no idea. That part's never made any sense.
I'm just hoping it's a translation error they've never bothered to fix.
Well, I mean, it's not like they ever went and gave these episodes a second pass.
Like you know, he wasn't like an ambassador to North Korea. He was actually just a businessman there in Japan. That's probably what the real translation is.
There's no telling.
Yeah. So, of course, Ken decides to, you know, invade their home with a bag full of, looks like, well, fried chicken.
He decides to invade their home along with Master Gazelle.
Which, nope, again, nobody's alarmed by.
Right.
Right.
There's a giant gazelle man walking around in your living room, but hey, let's eat some fried pork.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
Gazelle burger.
Your mom eats pork.
And gazelle.
So, Carl's dad tells us why he hates Christmas.
Yep.
It's because his mom died on Christmas.
And we're getting to the really good part of the episode here now, too.
By good, you mean that, well, it's just really not Sentai unless one of the characters ends up in drag.
And acting really dickish.
Inappropriately, yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
Because, so, I mean, what better thing to do when you find out that this little kid's mother died the previous Christmas than to run upstairs, put on some of her clothes and a wig, and act like you're his mother?
Well, flat out tells him that you're his mother.
With a beard.
Now, Carl, jump into Mama's chest. Come on, kiss me.
Yes. Spoken in English both times.
Here's the thing. Did it act... One thing that I was kind of wondering is that...
What?
It's like, what I was wondering is, where the heck did he get those clothes?
From the closet upstairs, of course.
Well, where did he get the wig?
From the closet upstairs, of course. I mean, duh.
Don't think about it too much. It'll only hurt more. Something else your mom said to me.
Right.
I'm just incredibly alarmed that there's a man in drag trying to get a kid to come up and kiss him.
Yeah. And it's at this point that the gazelle man looks like the most reasonable person in the room. Could have been worse, though. It could have been Master Pion who went up the stairs and put on the drag.
That probably would have been less disturbing.
Maybe. I bet nobody would have noticed that either.
Probably not.
I was kind of disappointed that this episode did not have the penguin lady who has the crush on Violet Ranger.
That sounds odd.
It sounds exactly like what it is.
Okay, then.
In the very next episode, though, Geeky Violet does go visit her and presents her with a fish.
In the Animal Kingdom, that's known as presenting.
Right. So, anyway.
Meanwhile, the Monster of the Week whips out his Goku staff and starts beating the crap out of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Just furthering the Monkey King referenciness.
Yes.
Of course.
And there sure is a lot of him.
The Geki Rangers, defying all fashion sense, put on white after Labor Day. And put on their little super costume things.
I like the super costumes in this show.
They got jet engines on them. They remind me of soccer uniforms somehow. And don't ask me how, but they just kind of do.
Okay. Just be happy that it's been a while since they introduced the Super Geki Ranger outfits, because early on in the process, they would fly around with the little rockets all over their suits all the time.
What, like Superman flying, or?
Okay, we'll call it that. Didn't actually work out nearly that well.
But similar to, like, up, up, and away kind of flying, not just, like, zipping from corner to corner real fast.
Well, I mean, they were off the ground.
Okay. So, we get a nice little action sequence, then we get treated to more disturbingness from Ken.
There's no end to the disturbingness from Ken.
Where he chases Carl down to the beach and forces him to be held in his lap.
Yeah.
Damn it, Japan. What is wrong with you?
I don't think we have enough time for that. And then even though it's been established several times at this point that the kid can't understand a word anybody's saying, Ken proceeds to explain to him how he lost his own mother at a young age and how he worked his way through that.
By doing some horrible katas on the beach.
That's right. Well, Ken was never the best student of the Jugen arts, being that one of his first actions on returning to Japan was selling off the precious Jukin artifact that was entrusted to him. So that's kind of an oops right there.
Ken seems like he kind of escaped from a Fast and the Furious movie.
No, that just can't, because I don't want to punch him in the face.
I think it might be the jawline beard that does it.
Oh, it's not helping anything.
Yeah.
Didn't help your mom either.
Right. But damn it, waxing is expensive. What?
Yeah. I really don't like his weapon either. That goofy fist blade thing.
That's understandable. And that's his transformation device, too.
Yeah, it just... I like his costume. It's just that thing is incredibly badly designed.
Yeah, Geki Ranger kind of went a different way with some of that stuff.
Just kitbash for other parts we haven't used yet and just glue them together and we'll use it in the show.
One thing I like, though, is that he wears the Geki Changers. He doesn't transform using them. He just uses them as a storage device. Because apparently the Geki Changers are double as a bag of holding. Because he stores his whatever that weapon's called. I can't remember. But he stores
you know
that great
doubles
big...
as a bag of holding? Your mom's stomach.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to go a different way with that.
Your mom goes a different way with that.
She'll die.
Your mom is holding a bag.
Your mom is a bag.
Several
An
bags.
Old bag.
But yeah, conveniently, Monkey King Monster bounces onto the beach where Ken is trying to pep talk Carl ineffectively in Japanese. It's good going.
And then Monkey King makes his monster grow.
Yeah, after Ken puts the super Geki claw on his thing.
I guess that helps.
Apparently, I have no idea.
Well, the more things you plug onto something, the more power it gets. I learned that from Transformers Armada.
But he used his side blade to cut all the way down Monkey King's rod.
Yeah, when you say it like that...
It's what it looked like. Don't tell me it didn't.
I won't tell you that.
Good. But yeah, from this point, it stops being quite so awesome.
Okay, now I'm a little confused here. How can they have all the Megazords out at once?
What do you mean?
Well, okay, they've got the Monkey Megazord, and they've got the Tiger Megazord out at the same time. I thought it was sort of an either-or deal. I mean,
well, okay, here's the thing. To start with, it took each one of the first three Geki Rangers to produce their Geki Animal Zord thing, and then combine them into the Megazord. But then after Geki Violet shows up, he's able to produce the Tiger and the Jaguar himself in addition to his own wolf.
Oh, okay.
So he can make the
three at once.
He can make Geki Toja Wolf by himself while the others are making Geki Fire.
Okay.
Yes, so true to form in Japan, the female character is completely useless in this series.
Meanwhile,
this series?
Meanwhile, Side-IO is an actual physical object. He's not produced from their Geki spirit.
Ah, consistency. I love it.
And that's how they can have all the Megazords out at once.
Okay.
Speaking of which, I don't really care for the Side-Eye Geki combinations.
They all just stand around next to each other?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Red's thing plugs onto the top of Side-IO. Wolf stands
on the butt of it like it's a reverse centaur.
Yeah, pretty much. And then everything else that's out at the time just kind of runs escort alongside of it.
Yeah.
It's not really a combination in the typical sense.
Probably the stupidest Ultra Zord since Die Ranger.
Of course, for the toys, there's little butt plug rods to hook on the Cheetah or Jaguar or Penguin and Gazelle, which really just makes it worse.
Yeah. The idea behind it is okay, of a stampede of Megazords coming at you, because that's pretty terrifying.
Sure.
But
it doesn't really work out quite like that.
Yeah. But then they team Rocket punch him into the sky and he blows up.
Yeah.
He blasts off again?
Yep.
Of course, he's not coming back this time.
Oh, well.
And then at the end of the episode, Ken goes and abuses his Side-IO to make a giant ice sculpture of Carl's dead mother.
Further proving how jaded Japan is, probably nobody noticed a giant robot carving an ice sculpture.
Because that's also not going to, like, further traumatize a kid when it melts and collapses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Melee has a Benny Hill escape scene with that fly thing in a bag.
Yeah.
I can see why you like Geki Ranger more now, because this is wonderfully insane.
Yeah, it's fairly entertaining.
This is the type of Sentai that I like to see, where it's just baffling at all times.
Well, you'd certainly get that with it.
I like this better than the start of the series, because there's a lot less Geki Red in it.
Well, don't watch the next episode then, because that's like a Geki Red focus. Of course, the next episode, I believe, is also when Geki Violet goes and presents Penguin Girl with the fish. It's really just a bribe, though, because he wants her to help him learn a special technique.
That's not a euphemism, right?
No comment. It's a euphemism for all relationships. You bribe them with a present to get what you want.
That's right.
Or sometimes cash.
Well, you'd know more about that than I would.
Are nickels considered cash?
Not anymore.
Okay.
They're the next lowest thing to a penny.
The next lowest thing to your mom.
Yep. Yeah, you know, your mom actually costs more to produce than she's worth.
Your mom doesn't produce, she consumes.
Right. But yeah, that's a Sentai Christmas for you right there.
Exactly.
Was there a Go Under Christmas?
Yeah.
We should have done that,
too. I
thought
there was.
That was like a two-part episode, I think. But I mostly wanted to do this episode because of the inexplicable English people from North Korea.
The inexplicable molestation?
That, too.
Yes.
Yeah, this episode had a lot going on in it.
Yeah, the Go On Your Christmas episodes would have paled by comparison.
Yeah.
No knock against Go On Your, just, you know.
Okay,
it didn't have that wonderful confluence of elements going for it.
Explain to me at the end about that fun and Ken-like song they sang.
Oh, well,
is that Geki Ranger's version of the engine rap, where they have...
No. Just for a stretch of a few episodes, they replaced the normal end theme with character songs.
Oh, okay.
No, for the length of the series, otherwise, they had just one version of the same song.
Just a typical closer?
Yeah. Sung by somebody, I forget. Let me see. What's his name? Misuke Ichiro. You know, one of the more well-known super robot song singers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
But before the song actually gets started, they have the little academy segment, which explains some little bit of technology featured in the episode. That's where they explain that the Geki Changer can hold things bigger than itself.
It's a paradox.
Something like that.
Bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
Like your mom.
I didn't know a pair of ducks was bigger on the inside.
Well, if you got two of them, then yeah. Two ducks are always going to be bigger than one.
Oh.
Well, it makes sense. To be in your mom's case, because it's not possible to be bigger on the outside.
But if you had a pair of your mom, wouldn't they just, like, coalesce into one object?
Probably, but your mom's more interested in having a pair of cocks.
Good night, everybody. So, next week, we're going to finally get to something I've been wanting to do for a while, which is the lost episode of Dynaman.
Woohoo!
Dynacon.
With special thanks to Dave Van Domlin.
That's right.
Because he's great.
And at some point, I'll actually get uploaded the other episodes he sent me. Sorry, Dave. But yeah, everybody needs to watch Dynacon. There's really, like, no excuse for not watching Dynacon.
Well, maybe if you didn't have internet, that might be an excuse.
No, it wouldn't. Then you would have to, like, track down somebody who has it on VHS.
Oh, well, okay, I can see that.
Either that
you should actually attend DynaCon to watch it.
Or, you know, get somebody who has internet to get you the episode so you can watch it later. See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, if you didn't have internet, how would you be listening to our show?
Well, again, you should get somebody else to download it for you and give it to you. And for anybody right now listening who doesn't have internet, that's exactly what you need to start doing. Well, you know, if they don't have internet, they might not know that they shouldn't be listening to the show. So then they're listening to the show on the internet they don't have. This is indisputable logic here.
That's true. I don't want to dispute it at all.
Right.
Right.
Okay, well, I think that'll be our show for this week.
Okay, then.
So...
unless...
what?
It's not the end of the show.
Isn't it?
No, it must be, since no one else is saying anything. Okay, yeah, it's the end.
Yeah.
Right.
So, thanks for listening.
Till next time.
If you didn't watch this week's Twitter Theater yet, you really should. It's probably worth your 23 minutes.
You should watch it while listening to us at the same time.
Or it's at least worth the 5 minutes of stuff that's really funny in it and bizarre and inexplicable. Like the kidnapping and molestation.
We promise it won't get you arrested for watching it.
Most likely.
Probably.
Yeah.
It is a free fan sub, not for download or streaming.
Oh, so you mean I shouldn't have linked to a streaming website that has it?
Probably not. The internet police are coming for you.
Crap. Well, in that case,
I think that's like almost as big a crime as hot linking an image.
Ooh. Well, I better
in some states.
I better go flee to a country without an extradition treaty. So, yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Okay then.
We'll talk at you later, not with you.
Whatever. Say goodnight, Fort Max.
Night.
Fort Max.
You totally screwed up that joke. Bastard.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.
The hell not.
That's a spirit. Okay, we're back. Twitter Theater this week. Although
and your audio is terrible.
It'll sound fine on my recording, though.
Your mom's audio is terrible.
You earn an extra nickel next time.
Okay, we're back.